Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
God wants you to use your mind. God wants you to have the ability to think right. And as Paul concludes the letter of Philippians, and I invite you to turn to chapter 4 with me, he deals with our thought life. So often we make our decisions on our feelings alone rather than applying biblical thinking to the issue at hand.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. What do you think about? In our society, we like to feel good. We like to be busy, and we love to be entertained. But God wants us to use our minds. Today, we're recognizing the importance of biblical thinking and learning how to have right thoughts and how to think right. Now, continuing our study in Philippians, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson called Thinking Right.
If I knew what you were thinking about, I would know you very well, wouldn't I? All of us have a thought life, and much of it is private. Yet, what we think impacts what we believe and how we act. So today we're looking at two very important verses, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, which deal with right thinking. The Christian life involves making decisions and taking action. But the Christian life also deals with right thoughts and thinking in a godly way. Jesus said it wasn't so much that we're defiled by things outside of ourselves, but rather from that which is within. So today, Paul is giving us very helpful advice in controlling our thoughts as we deal with this important subject of thinking right and thinking well.
Philippians 4, then, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. First of all, I want us to understand that your thoughts matter to God. God knows your thoughts. Remember the great Psalm, Psalm 139, where the psalmist says that God knows our thoughts. Does the fact that God knows your thoughts, does that fill you with dread or fear or conviction or embarrassment or peace or joy? Your thoughts matter to God, and our thoughts are a clear indication of who we really are. We're not what we think we are, but rather what we think we are. If I knew your thoughts this week, I would know what kind of person you are. We can deceive others by our actions, by our words, but our thoughts, our inner thoughts, reveal what we are really like. Isn't that true? Because our basic problem is not the outside world, it's not our bad environment, but it's our thoughts and it's our hearts. Jesus says in Mark 7, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Before a hurtful word, there is first the thought. Before the act of immorality, there is always the thought. Before dishonesty, there is always the thought of covetousness of the mind. So if we're going to be strong and growing and mature followers of Christ, we must win the battle of the mind. Satan wants to pollute and defile your mind. But spiritual maturity and spiritual stability and this peace that we all want flows from our thought life. Our minds, then, are to be under the control of the Spirit of God. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, isn't it? Self-control. And that certainly includes the mind. To say the obvious, your thoughts matter to God. Secondly, I wanted to say that your thoughts, here is the good news. Your thoughts can be controlled. You may think, and you may have bought into the notion, well, I can't do anything about it. That's just how I am. When I was a young man, I was exposed to this, or this is just the way I'm going to be. No. Paul gives us a command to think biblically. Did you notice that? At the end of verse 8, he says, think about these things. That's a command. Godly thinking is not presented as an option, but as a command. If our thoughts were beyond our control, the apostle would not be giving a command. You are responsible for your thinking. Don't buy into this idea that there's nothing you can do about your thought life. Take responsibility as a follower of Christ. As a man, as a woman who is filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, take responsibility for your thinking. Don't make life so easy for yourself. For example, the answer to a troubled, fearful, and anxious mind is not to empty your mind of everything, but rather is to bring all of these anxieties to the Lord in prayer and to fill your mind, as Paul says here, with godly thoughts. So Paul says, think about these things. Obey the command. Discipline your thought life. Stop thinking about all these things that worry you and make you anxious. Why are you spending time worrying and spending your thought life occupied with these anxious thoughts, for example? Stop your mind wandering and dwelling on sin, on negativity, on garbage and ungodly thoughts. Stop thinking about these things. And certainly don't talk about these things. Paul says in Ephesians 5 that there are certain things that are not even to be named among us. And it begins with the control of our minds. This is the battle of the mind. Listen to the command. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts. Forsake these unrighteous thoughts. Bring your thought life under the control of the Holy Spirit. When I taught the new members class yesterday, we were thinking of the Great Commission where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, that there is no higher authority than Jesus Christ. And I was encouraging these new members to bring all of life under the control of Jesus Christ. Certainly in the church, this church belongs to Jesus Christ. We're to do it His way. Your home, your relationships, your work, and yes, your thoughts, all under the lordship of Jesus Christ. How wonderful. Don't let your mind dwell on the world's garbage. Your mind is not your master, but is to be subject to the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, verse 14, that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, sin will have no dominion over you. Once it was our master, it controlled us. But we have a different master, no longer under law, but under grace. So, brother, sister, will you make a decision to think godly thoughts? Solomon writes, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Your heart and your mind are at the very center of your thinking and affections. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Be careful what you allow your mind to think about. Isn't it interesting in Romans 12 when Paul urges us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God? And when he tells us not to be conformed to the world, but he tells us to be transformed by the renewing of what? Our mind. My mind is to be renewed. I am to present my body, all that I have, as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ, all under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I realize that my mind has to be renewed by the Word of God, that spiritual transformation begins with the renewal of your mind. My dear brother, my dear sister, if your thought life is out of control, it's going to impact every single thing that you do. But through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God, God is transforming our hearts and our minds. We are not robots. We're not machines. We're not computers programmed to run in a certain way. You're a human being made in the image of God. And if you're a follower of Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and your thought life can be changed. But it is impossible to make these changes by ourselves. And isn't that why we believe in grace? The transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is the king, King David himself, a man obviously whose mind was distorted and polluted, leading to these terrible sins. And yet he says in that wonderful Psalm, Psalm 51, that through the grace of God, he can be what? Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. And your thoughts can be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You say, well, I can't help these thoughts coming into my mind. That may be true, but you can certainly take them captive to the obedience of Christ. You can isolate them. You can see what they are. They can be cast down and reject all false and evil strangleholds and strongholds in your mind. Identify every thought as a point opposed to God. Everything that is opposed to the Word of God, and take it captive. Satan wants to turn our minds and our hearts into rebellion against God, into moral sewers. Bring all of your thoughts under the Lordship of Christ. Your thoughts can be controlled. So first, your thoughts matter to God. Secondly, your thoughts can be controlled. And as we look at the passage, the particulars of this passage, we see that your thoughts are to be godly. Look back at Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. The Christian life, isn't it, is the life of Christ lived in us and through us. In the Christian faith, we don't empty our minds, but rather we fill our minds with godly thoughts. The Spirit of Jesus controls our words, our actions, our attitudes, and our thoughts. No longer I, says Paul, but Christ living in me. And so Christianity is a humble and a profound acknowledgement before a holy God that our minds and our hearts are desperately wicked. David was right. He had sinned terribly. That by ourselves, we can't change our hearts. We can't change our minds. And we need help from above. We need help from God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, says Jesus. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved by His grace, the living Christ through His Spirit indwells us. So I ask you, have you been born again? Have you been cleansed from the inside out? Not just trying to change your outward conduct, but a inner supernatural transformation. Receiving a clean heart and a clean mind. Think godly thoughts. Now, what's the first one that Paul says here? Interestingly, in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true. First, think on that which is true. First on the list is truth. All error, all deception, all dishonesty, all delusion, stop right here. The first article of the armor of God in Ephesians 6 is what? The belt of truth. It's the first thing I put on as I go out into the warfare, I put on the belt of truth. Paul says, the first thing that you think about, make sure it's true. The Christian is one who loves and practices the truth. We live in a world where there's a denial of truth. We're told that truth is determined subjectively by each individual, that truth is nothing more than your personal opinion. This view of truth as a personal preference also, sadly, has impacted the evangelical world. Doctrine, biblical preaching and teaching are de-emphasized, replaced by hype, make-me-feel-good sermonettes, inspiring and sentimental stories, pragmatic techniques, raw emotionalism, pop psychology. Bill Hull writes, what scares me is the anti-intellectual, anti-critical thinking philosophy that has spilled over into the church. This philosophy tends to romanticize the faith, making the local church into an experience center. And the concept of church is that they are spiritual consumers and that the church's job is to meet their felt needs. The result? A weak church. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must, brothers and sisters, be committed to the truth. God's word is absolute truth. Psalm 119, verse 151, all your commandments are true. John 17, verse 17, Jesus says to his Father, your word is truth. My preferences, your opinions are totally irrelevant. The question is, what does God say? And God, who is absolute truth, has revealed his word, his truth. Therefore, we must be committed to the truth. So study this book. It is the truth. Memorize the truth. Meditate on the truth. Obey the truth. Never compromise the truth, even if the whole world is against you. Buy the truth and don't sell it. In your business, be truthful. In your relationship with your spouse, your children, your parents, be absolutely truthful. Be characterized by the truth. This is the way for your mind to be renewed. Secondly, says Paul, not only whatever is true, whatever is honorable, that which is worthy of respect, that which is awe-inspiring, that which is dignified rather than trashy, mundane, and trivial. One commentator says this is the spire and not the gutter. In our society, so much of it is in the gutter, isn't it? We have a terrible dumbing down of everything. And some of our modern communication hasn't helped us. There's a lot of trashy talk, isn't there? Trashy emails, even trashier text messages, trashy entertainment, trashy living. And it all begins with trashy thinking. Have thinking which is honorable. Not in the gutter, but that which honors God. Then says Paul, whatever is just, that which is right, that which is upright. Have our thinking on that which is right and just. No dishonesty, nothing crooked in the way that we speak or behave. Just. Then that which is, whatever is pure. Yeah, that which is pure. Think on that which is pure. That which is clean, rather than that which is defiled and sinful. Are your thoughts holy? Are your thoughts and motives pure? This certainly refers to sexual matters, but includes all of our thinking. To think on that which is pure. Not sleazy, not degrading, but to have pure thoughts. Then, that which is lovely, whatever is lovely. This is not the world, is it? That which is pleasing, that which is agreeable, that which is graceful, that which overflows in an agreeable personality and lifestyle, that which is lovely. And then that which is commendable, whatever is commendable, that which is fair, that which is admirable. Fix your mind on that which builds up people rather than destroys them. Be fair when you think about other people. Be fair when you speak about people. In our sinfulness, isn't it true, and in our thoughts, we're attracted sometimes to that which is degrading, to people's faults and failings, rather than that which is of good repute, rather than that which is commendable. And then says Paul, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is getting out of the gutter and thinking lofty and praiseworthy thoughts of people and situations. This is certainly giving your brother or sister at church the benefit of the doubt and not being so quick to criticize someone or to pull them down or to gossip about them. But if there's anything of excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about that. It is maintaining the highest standards in our thinking. An absence here of that which is base, that which is critical, that which is hurtful. Think godly thoughts. Meditate on these things. If your thoughts don't pass this grid in verse 8, what are you to do with them? Reject them. Reject them. Think on that which is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, things worthy of praise. Isn't it good to be around people like that? And you see, godly conduct flows from godly thinking. That's verse 9. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul knew what he was talking about. Practice these things. Be like that. Think right. A.W. Tozer said that the most important thing about us is what we think of God. And when we're thinking well of God, we'll have these godly thoughts. That's why worship is so important. I can't understand Christians who have such a low view of corporate worship, because one of the things that corporate worship does for me, it gets my mind thinking of these great thoughts. We are inspired as we worship and as we open the Word of God and as we fellowship and as we exhort one another and encourage one another, and when we are focused on God rather than on self and sin, we know His divine peace that will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That's Isaiah 26. Paul says, when you do this, the end of verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. Of course He will. Not only will you have the peace of God in our hearts and minds, but we will have the assurance that this God who brings His tranquility and His peace and His calming presence will be with us. The God of peace. There is peace with God, Romans 5, verse 1. The peace of God that we thought of last week. But perhaps greater than all of that is to know that the God of peace is with us. And you'll never have the mind of Christ. Never think this way unless and until first you receive the person of Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you've never received Christ, I encourage you to do that today. And if you know Christ, as many of you do here tonight, will you allow this week, practice this, give attention to it, be aware of it from the moment you get up, to allow the Spirit of Christ to control your thoughts. And when these unwholesome thoughts and negative thoughts and degrading thoughts and worrying thoughts creep into your mind, reject them and think right. What changes, brother, sister, do you have to make? What are you taking into your mind? How can you think godly thoughts when you're feeding your mind on that sewer? How can you expect to live a godly life when you're surrounding yourself with friends who are vulgar or crude? How can you expect to live a life honoring the Lord when you're consistently dwelling on that which is critical and negative about others? What changes need to be made in your thinking? Take action. Paul says, ever so practical, practice these things. You know the theory. You agree with it, don't you? But here's the challenge. To practice it. This week, practice these things. Let your mind dwell on these things and you will be transformed. And when you let your mind dwell on our great God and His Word, you will be aware that the God of peace is with you, protecting you, guiding you, giving you wisdom and providing for you and granting His peace.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message from our study in Philippians titled, Thinking Right. As we learn today, our thoughts are important, and when we don't think about good things, we can get into trouble and even fall into sin. Do you understand sin? What it is, why it exists, and how it impacts our lives and relationships? We'd like to encourage you to get your free copy of John's powerful new booklet called Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. You'll get a clear biblical overview of sin, understand how it impacts our lives, and why we all need a Savior. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of the book, Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters, today by going to our website at theverdict.org. On our homepage, you can also sign up for John's email newsletter and discover exciting updates and opportunities here at The Verdict. We're so glad that you're listening to The Verdict, and we want to thank you for joining us. We hope John's biblical teaching and the resources of this ministry have blessed you. If they have, we'd ask you to consider partnering with us to help reach new listeners by giving a financial gift. Your generous contribution will help cover the cost to deliver the truth of God's Word through this radio program to your neighbors, your community, and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. Or send your check in the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? What have you been thinking about the last day or two? When you're going for a walk, or working out at the gym, or driving your car, or drifting off to sleep, what are you thinking about? You may be surprised that we're commanded to think about that which is true, honorable, just, pure, and so on. We live in a very sleazy world, and God wants you to have a clean mind. Having a clean mind means that you will think right and that you will make wise decisions. And this will please God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.